Thursday Night Tailgate, where the spotlight is always on the positive. Tune in Thursday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time to hear your favorite NFL legends, players, and coaches sharing their stories. Now back to Chris and Bob.
I wouldn't joke about anything else that happened to you tonight.
And now back in making his, can you believe this, 11th appearance with us here on Thursday Night Tailgate is super agent, author, teacher, and TNT guest Hall of Famer Lee Steinberg. There isn't a bigger or more influential person, or a better person for that matter, in the world of sports than Lee Steinberg is. Be sure to check out Lee's book, The Agent, My 40-Year Career Making Deals and Changing the Game. You can find it out on Amazon.com. He's represented some of the greatest athletes of our time, including guys like our good friends Steve Barkowski and Drew Bledsoe. Lee is a member of our 2015 Guest Hall of Fame class, and we're very excited to get him back with us tonight here on Thursday Night Tailgate. Hey, Lee, Chris and Bob, thanks for coming back on the show.
Hi, Lee.
Happy holidays to you. I have the bat proof I'm in the Hall of Fame. You give out that ceremonial bat. And it's been very useful with general managers and, in influencing results. So it packs a wallop. But I was listening to your predictions. So that's good news for my client, Patrick Mahomes. And that's not so good news for our clients on the Packers, who are Aaron Jones and Jamal Williams and Danny Vitale.
Yeah, well, Tony and I think the Packers are going to win. So you got that. So we are on both of your clients. So we're trying to give you a little good mojo there, Lee. Lee, when you join us, one of the things that we like to talk about and we like to point out is the work that you do with your clients to start foundations so they can give back to their communities. You've helped Pat Mahomes set up the 15 and the Mahomes Foundation. Talk about what he's doing to support kids in the Kansas City community and why it's so important to you to make sure that your clients are giving back to their communities.
So we ask each athlete to go back and retrace their roots and set up a high school scholarship fund or work with the Boys and Girls Club or work with a local church. And 130 of them over the years have done that. And then at the collegiate level, we ask them to think about the alums, think about the fact they're part of a larger community. And so, for example, Troy Aikman endowed a full scholarship at UCLA. Terry Collins did the same thing at Penn State. Edgerrin James did the same thing at the University of Miami. And it's a way of saying we're part of this community. Then at the pro level, we ask each athlete to find something in their own heart that's a wrong or a situation that bothers them and try to leave a legacy. So this involves putting together a charitable foundation that takes the leading business figures, political figures, and community leaders, puts them on an advisory board so they can help with the program. So in the case of Ward Dunn, the retired Atlanta Falcon and Tampa Bay Buccaneer, he just put the 175th single mother and their family in the first home they'll ever own by making a down payment and having the house outfitted. So it's athletes changing lives. Patrick Mahomes has his 15 and the Mahomes. Aaron Jones, the running back from the Green Bay Packers, has gone to back to his home, which is El Paso, and they've run camp for as many as 1,200 kids. It's athletes understanding the power they have as role models to trigger imitative behavior. So some of it is also messaging. So it's like the retired heavyweight champion Lennox Lewis cutting a public service announcement that says real men don't hit women. And or Oscar De La Hoya and Steve Young, prejudice is foul play. So it's a way of an athlete to think of themselves as more than just self-absorbed, but to understand their obligations to a community.
And Lee, this is Bob. It's always great to speak with you. And I was thinking about you this week when I read about the three Utah State players who were busted for drug possession. And like you said about role models and everything, these guys haven't even hit the big time yet, but obviously there's people in the future that are probably going to have to do some damage control. Does it make you cringe a little bit, Lee, when you see things like this happen to guys that supposedly have bright futures?
I think if one incident happens, it's one too many. But let's remember that the focus of press is to talk about things which are aberrational. So every day we'll read about drunk driving and domestic violence and all the rest out of this massive pool, which is players, retired players, coaches, administrators, as if somehow there had been a pristine standard of behavior some years ago, and now athlete behavior has gone to the dog. But the truth is we can show and prove, we have the statistics that show that if you compare collegiate and professional athletes to their non-athletic peers, that the athletes' rate of drunk driving, domestic abuse, fights in bars is much lower than their non-athletic peers. But if you watch local television, you would have the perception that crime and kidnapping and traffic accidents are all that's happening. So it's got that same effect. And we don't focus as much on the amazing work that athletes are doing off the field. I'll tell a player this. You want to play professional sports, you're entirely dependent on the good graces of fans to buy tickets, to watch on television, to buy memorabilia. And you're held to a higher obligation. So when it comes time to go out drinking, you better make sure you have a designated driver. When you walk into a bar, make sure you have a couple people around you, because you're inevitably going to get pushed by somebody who's drunk and to cause a fight. Be so careful in your relationship with women. And so prevention in all of this is the really best cure.
And Lee, one more before I pass you to Chris. I mean, I think everyone that gets into business, I think one of their greatest dreams is to have make their stamp on the world and make a difference. Now, your clients, you're approaching $1 billion closely to donating to various charities around it. That definitely makes a difference in the world. You're one of the few people that I know that could actually say that. Is it surreal at times to you?
So my father raised us with two core values. One was treasure relationships, especially family. And the second was to make a meaningful difference in the world, and especially help people who are down on their luck and can't help themselves. So the only thing we really produce in a firm that represents athletes is hopefully fulfilling the dreams of our clients. But the other thing is making a difference in the world. And so that's the purpose I was raised with. And so I don't judge myself by the amount of contracts or economics that happen. It's really by, are we doing good character development with young men, and then together are we making a positive impact in the world? And I think at the end of life, you know, newspaper clippings, headlines, all that thing fades, and you're just left with those two values along with spiritual ones.
And Lee, you posted a video on Twitter yesterday regarding empathy and compassion, sort of to continue down this storyline. And you say those are two traits that you are looking for in any relationship that you have. Talk about why those two things are so important to you.
I think that if you can align yourself with values and people who share the same values in the world, that it's a counterpoint and will serve you well in every kind of relationship and also in business. People get involved with situational ethics where they think as long as they're nice at home to cats and dogs and their neighbors, they can go out in the workplace and do all sorts of heinous social Darwin tactics because the end all justifies the means. But that leads to a type of soul death. So if you want to be happy in life, it's quality of caring, it's compassion, it's empathy, it's an understanding that people that are down on their luck didn't always plan it to be that way, and they need a hand to come back up. And so you know, I battled alcoholism in my life, and I try to be really open about that because there are people out there still suffering, and what I want to tell them is that there are programs, 12-step programs, and people can actually emerge from chaos and destruction and have a happier life.
Lee, one more before we let you go, and you do a wonderful job with your Agent Academy and bringing in and teaching folks about what it's like to be an agent and the skills that are necessary to be successful. Talk about the things that you do with that.
So I want to mentor a younger generation of sports professionals that have ethics and values and also are taught a particular skill set. So you go to law school, business school, even sports marketing, and they teach you the principles of each of those areas. So we have two programs. One is an agent academy, and for people who aspire to that profession, we have exercises that teach them how to recruit and how to negotiate and how to brand and market and how to do crisis control and how to set up a charitable foundation. They really get up and do it. I mean, we bring in actual athletes and split them into agent teams, and they have to recruit the athlete and their parent. And then sports career conferences, which we're doing all over the country in 2020, and at those you get an hour on sports media. So it's local sports writers, it's local newscasters, it's people who do the internet, and then an hour that helps you to work for a team or a league or a conference or an athletic department, and then an hour which is sports marketing and sports branding with some of the experts in those fields. And so, and then sports entrepreneurship, the new kinds of apps that are available, and also the whole concept of how you organize a charity and how you benefit the world. So young people can come to these conferences, or they can go to our online course, which is SteinbergSports.com, and they can get a jump up and a jump start in their career. So what I'm hoping to do is create this next generation. And if you go to a college, you'll see that people are dying to be in sports, but they might want to be in facilities management or PR or be a potential athletic director as well as being an agent. And so we have literally a business which has exploded, and there are hundreds of thousands of jobs in the field, and so I want to be able to give a leg up to young people to be able to succeed.
Lee, let our listeners know, you talked about your website, but how can they stay up to date with all the great things you're doing and where you're going to be doing those conferences and classes, whether it's on your website or it's over social media?
They can look at my Twitter feed, which is at Lee Steinberg, or look at Steinberg Sports on Twitter. They can go to our website, which is SteinbergSports.com, and it will explain all the different opportunities that we have for young people to learn and achieve. Then I'm on all the usual suspects, including Instagram and Facebook and LinkedIn and all the rest.
Well, Lee, we can't thank you enough for coming on the show tonight, being patient with us. We really appreciate that very much. You're absolutely one of our all-time favorites. Thank you again for all your support. You mean a great deal to us.
We've been doing this forever. You guys run an absolutely wonderful forum, and every time I listen, I'm enlightened.
We appreciate that very much. Lee, happy holidays to you and your family. We look forward to catching up with you again soon.
And to yours, good night.
Good night.
See you, Lee. That's the great Lee Steinberg. And Bob, you know, of all the many blessings that we've had on this show, his continued support and coming on and sharing the stories that he has always been outstanding. But it's sort of a nice, you know, kind of marriage up with what he's doing with his clients and the people that he's been around over the years, and starting up those foundations and giving back to the community and what how important that is to him and setting all of those things up. It's a nice marriage with our spotlight on the positive, because like we've said, and like he just said a moment ago, it just doesn't get enough airplay for all the great things that guys are out there doing.
Yeah, as we stressed in the past, Chris, the greatness is the charitable theme that he has with his clients, something he insists on, and approaching $1 billion in charitable donations, that's making a difference in the world.
Yeah, it is. And good for you for pulling that out. All right, we've got our next guest, Al Oliver, hanging on the line. We're going to get to Al on the other side of this real quick station break.